Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Ways Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel.
I'm Nathan.
We're brothers, we and, read comics.
And I'm taken, ladies, sorry.
Ooh, at this point.
Your favorite. Pretty much, well, I've been unavailable the whole time we've had this podcast. So if you ever thirsted over me, sorry for single baiting you.
If you, how could you resist this guy who's got a little piece of white chocolate on his lip?
Oh, you gave me the white chocolate. God damn it. Did I get it?
He's irresistible. If you're listening to this early enough, there's still time.
There's still time. You can say no. I object.
Yeah.
If you find out where our venue is.
Do you have to did you write whatever the officiant says, or do they have something?
He had options and we chose some, and then I think we added a little something extra, but yeah.
Did you choose an option where you give people the option to object?
No.
Okay.
I don't think there was an option for that. That'd be kind of wild if
you really just don't do that anymore.
I don't think they do that at all, but you could still crash the wedding.
Yeah.
Technically, we have two free seats that we paid for and people are bailing on. So.
Whoa.
Yeah. But I'm a married man now. Yep. I got this ring on my, not in this episode, but I got this ring on my finger now.
Yeah, so we're doing a wedding comic.
Yes, we are.
I think we got most of the wedding trades out of the way. Dude, we got
they all suck.
Spider-Man and Deadpool.
And Deadpool, and that's it.
Yeah. Anyway, we got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Spider-Man, the wedding album. We got Back Matter Matters in the poll list, but we start with the news.
We got some news.
I really tried to throw you for a loop with the whole name thing and the intro, but you were resilient.
I'm on my toes.
Yeah, he's ready. Nathan, Red Hood has been canceled.
Yeah, fuck that guy. After one issue, because the writer is passionate about her opinions on Charlie Kirk, apparently.
It was maybe a little insensitive about, topics.
About hot topics, especially on the day.
It's apparently crazy because I think 2 and 3 have been were solicited, but then they just cut them off.
Yeah, they said at DC Comics, we place the highest value on our creators and community and affirm the right to peaceful individual expression of personal viewpoints, posts, or public comments that can be viewed as promoting hostility or violence are inconsistent with DC standards of conduct. So kind of crazy. Apparently it wasn't that good of an issue anyway. I don't know. I haven't read it, but that seems to be consensus.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if anyone was really stoked on it, but...
Yeah. But kind of just crazy that happened in general.
Yeah. Nathan, Mitch Gerads.
What about him?
He's going to be writing something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with Tom King, but...
Cool, I missed it.
Yeah, it was a picture of a script.
Sweet.
And it said, written by Mitch Gerads.
That's cool. I wonder if he's going to be drawing it as well.
Probably.
Yeah. Seems to be what he likes to do. Daniel, you know how Marvel does those swimsuit specials?
Yeah.
For the summer? They're going to be doing a Marvel winter break swimsuit special.
Okay.
They are, I don't know, the cover's just all snowy and stuff. I wouldn't normally care about it, but it's going to be written by Tim Seeley and Tony Fleeks.
Oh.
Which is kind of cool, with artist Nick Bradshaw.
Nice.
And there's also going to include just some other talent like Carrie Andrews and Annie Wu, which is pretty cool.
I mean, the swimsuit issues are kind of like a 90s thing, right?
Yeah. So they're going to be at a cabin, but in a hot tub or something.
Yeah.
I think.
It's wintertime. It's still going to be sexy.
Yeah, it'll still be sexy. So that's interesting. I just like those writers.
Yeah.
Speaking of special winter issues, you like Christmas issues?
Yep.
Do you like Terminator?
I don't know.
Terminator, Santa Claus is Coming to Town is going to be a comic book that is real and exists.
Is Santa Claus a T-1000 or something?
No. Well, there's a T-1000 that is dressed like Santa Claus in one of the covers. I think he kills Santa Claus and then he becomes Santa. I'm not sure.
Interesting.
But that's going to be something that comes out this year. It's going to be written by Paulina Ngannou-Chow, which is the person that does Disney villains Maleficent or Powerpuff Girls, with artist Kendall Good, for a 28-page holiday horror special. That's pretty fun.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. I like a good Christmas issue.
Yeah. I feel like every property should have at least one, you know?
I want the Predator Santa, you know?
Yeah.
Because Predator would be like, look how fast that fucking guy's going. Like, I need to hunt that guy down, you know? And he's like chasing after him.
Yeah.
And then Santa has to like bite him in somebody's living room.
Or it's like Predator's trying to kill Kevin McAllister.
Ooh.
And Santa shows
up. Oh, yeah.
To help. But dude, Santa's got, he's got gadgets for him.
That would be such a sick crossover. They need to do it, I feel like.
Yeah, like Predator and Home Alone, the Christmas special.
You could probably get that actor to write it.
Or Macaulay Culkin?
Macaulay Culkin, yeah.
Do I have an idea for you?
We get like a real comic art or like writer to make it good, you know, but
right.
have his name on there. That sells at least 500K.
Just pay him just to throw his name on there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nathan, you like Noel?
I like Noel.
Well, Noel's getting his own miniseries.
Ooh. Yes, he is. I did see that.
Coming January 14th. 5-issue mini. Do you know who's writing?
Al Ewing.
Yeah.
And Tom Waltz.
With Juan and Ramirez on art.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. I think it'll be interesting. He's like shown up in things, right? He's just not like, hasn't been a main character or anything.
I think he was just in a thing to where you'd think like,
I thought
he was gone, but I guess not.
Yeah.
You think he'd be gone? He probably died at the end of like King in Black.
I think he did, or maybe he got.
But then there's just something that brought him back or whatever because he's cool.
Mm-hmm. He is cool. It's probably the coolest like original creation from a big two in like the last couple years.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's all I got.
Same. What book do we read this week, Nathan?
We read Spider-Man, The Wedding Album by tons of people. But what I didn't know is that Christopher Priest used to go as Jim Owsley. Do you know that?
I did know that.
I did not know that.
If you quizzed me on his surname, I would have got it wrong, but I knew he had a surname.
I didn't know that. So that's kind of interesting. He's been in the game for a while. But
long time.
You know, famous names in here. You got Peter David, Jim Shooter, Christopher Priest as Jim Owsley, Stan Lee, and then some pencilers, John Romita Jr., Jim Valentino, Larry Lieber, Paul Ryan, and lots of other talent. But it's kind of like a collection of all the bullshit that they were doing. I don't know. Spider-Man used to be a fucking nightmare to read, I feel like. Because it would be like, oh, Amazing Spider-Man 290. And then you got to go to Peter Parker Spectacular Spider-Man 100.
Annual.
Annual. And then you got to go back to 292. So it's like, it's just kind of all over the place.
Well,
I think the idea was to just have a Spider-Man issue out every week that you just pick up.
Yeah,
and then have them technically be different titles.
Because it'd be like Web of Spider-Man, AMS, and then Spectacular.
Yeah.
And then I think AMS is like double shipping or something.
Right.
But, I mean, it's not that bad. It's like 290, 291, 292, the annual of Amazing Spider-Man 21, and then it goes over to Spectacular in 7.
Yeah.
But then there's like more to this that is like wedding themed or whatever.
Yeah, there's a not brand etch, like 7-page story.
Yeah.
What is that?
That's like a parody book that they had for a couple issues. There was like 13 of them back in like the 80s. And then I think a couple of years ago, they had like the 14th issue just for funsies.
Yeah. Didn't like Nick Spencer or somebody write that?
I don't know. Probably.
I remember that coming out. And I'm like, that seems interesting.
Someone who likes old shit.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it would be gone for a little bit longer. But yeah, it's basically just their Mad magazine.
They only had 14 issues?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't even. It's a weird title and it's an interesting concept.
Yeah. You know? And then they have two what if stories in the back of this, too. So
they also had like Marvel history or the Marvel saga.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was kind of like a annotated sort of history of Peter Parker and Mary Jane's relationship, I think.
Yeah.
That was kind of interesting. I liked that.
It had a good flow to it.
I would probably buy that. Like on its own, if I saw it,
and
like
just to kind of catch up on some
shit, because it's kind of interesting. Like this is such a big character.
It's kind of like
especially if it's leading up to.
It's kind of like Grand Design before Grand Design,
pretty much. Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of like and it like takes bits and pieces of like the big moments between like just those two. So
yeah, they could have like cut and pasted like the panels if you told me that they did, you know. But I think it would just kind of redrawn, you know.
I think they might have been cut and paste. But I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think so. It seemed like consistent enough.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anyone like needs to read this.
No.
Really?
It's like,
if you just like imagine what happens, you're probably right.
It's probably better.
Yeah, it's shorter for sure.
Because there's like so much of this that has nothing to do with anything.
There's a, they have like,
they some go to of the, Pittsburgh.
They have some of the mundane shit with like getting married. Like we see them get their marriage license, you know?
But like there's, I feel like one of the things I had a problem with it. I'm getting married. I've been planning a wedding for a while. I wish, and even if it's not this, it makes sense that it's not this because it's like Peter Parker and Mary Jane and not like a superhero wedding. But I think it'd be fun to like see some of the planning of a wedding for two superheroes, and they have to like figure out the seating chart, and they have to be like, oh man, don't put Hulk next to Wolverine. Like they used to be fucking ops, you know? So that we don't want any drama there or like things like that. Or figuring out like on the dance floor what like superheroes like to dance to what, you know? Like Captain America would probably fucking go crazy for something older, you know?
Yeah. Like make it like a little like corny, you know? Yeah,
exactly. So
yeah, it was very little of that. I think the whole wedding itself was like 3 pages.
And there's a lot of bullshit that we got through
and
to get to a wedding.
It took 77 pages just to get to the wedding issue.
Yeah.
There's like stuff before that.
Uh-huh.
You know? And so,
and it seems like they didn't plan anything. They're just like, this is where our wedding's gonna be.
It's just going to be at City Hall because
they
said,
they tell Aunt May like a couple days before they're getting married in general. And I'm like, that's not enough time for Aunt May to find a dress.
Right. And like, I don't know if the book is always like that, but Peter's got like so much anxiety.
He does.
Like he's got so much that he's worrying about.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's like the thing that people like kind of relate to. But right. I was like stressing him. Like,
I know.
It's probably, I was like, it's probably fine. I think I know how this ends.
He's pretty worried about money the whole time.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, how's this escape for anybody?
Yeah.
But anyway.
So, yeah, there's kind of a lot, and they cover a lot of ground. So I'm cutting out a fairly big portion of it, but I try and get the highlights, which is still a lot. But
this is good JRJR, though.
Yeah. No, it just doesn't look like current JRJR. Isn't that crazy that he's on Spider-Man still, like, right now? I'm reading this shit that came out in...
like, 40 years ago or something?
Yeah. When was this? Like, 1987 or something?
Something like that. It's like...
yeah, 87.
I wonder, you don't even see, like, really any signs of
you know? He was, I think there was, like, a Marvel style that they had
back
in the day like, that they, like, taught artists to draw like.
Right.
So, there wasn't really any, like, JRJR expression that you see nowadays.
Right.
But it would be kind of interesting to see, like, when he started to see colors of that. But, anyways, it starts with The Amazing Spider-Man 290. Spider-Man saves the mayor and J. Jonah Jameson from a villain called the Preserver, who's just a guy with an unloaded gun that's protesting against building renovations. Some important Spider-Man work there.
Mm-hmm. Deep cut.
It's funny because they were advertising like, oh, who's the Preserver? At one point in this, and I'm like, he's just a guy.
Yeah.
But Peter visits Aunt May and notices his like childhood microscope is missing because Aunt May donated it to the church. And so rather than ask for it back from the church, Peter decides to bid for it in their charity auction. But he gets wrapped up as Spider-Man. He like saves a child hostage and stuff. But he barely manages to stop that guy. And he wins the bid for the microscope. He pays $40, which is... I think a lot of money now. It's probably like $200 now.
$85.
Really? Oh, you did the inflation? Mm-hmm. I did the inflation check later for a different number.
Oh, yeah.
But after this, Peter visits MJ, who's busy packing for a trip that you just found out about for modeling. But while she's packing and stressed out for the trip, Peter butts in to ask her to marry him. Because something about the childhood microscope made him remember what he wants in life, which is MJ.
In science.
Sophie would murder me if I proposed to her that way, I think.
Oh, yeah. When she's like,
packing and stressed and like, what the fuck are you even talking about?
Yeah.
So that's kind of funny.
Not very romantic.
No.
Peter Parker.
You're like in her apartment.
And like, I guess they like never were like official. Like they're always kind of like bouncing around.
They're not even boyfriend, girlfriend here?
Yeah. No.
Oh, wow. No, so he really went for it.
Right. There was like... a connection for sure.
Yeah.
I think they'd kissed a few times, whatever. Mm-hmm. But no.
That's how it was back in the 80s, I guess.
Yeah.
I like the black suit Spidey. We get black suit Spidey in this.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is post-Secret Wars, I'm pretty sure. I mean, that's when he gets the black suit, so yeah, it would have to be.
I love all the indications that this is like the 80s. You know, like, you get like Spider-Man, like 80s hair.
Oh, my God. His 80s hair is crazy.
I think this is the only issue where his hair is really like that.
But it's like, it's so big. And I'm like, what a crazy, like, mullet-looking thing.
Yeah.
With two, like, little Superman. Like,
that was very hip at the time.
Yeah.
He's wearing heels as he's changing.
He is?
Yeah, he's got, well, like, not like heels like we know, but they're like boots with like heels on them.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's a good fit.
Yeah, it was very stylish. I like some of the dialogue in this. Like, he like stops a guy from stealing a thing at the church.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'd really like to clean your clock.
Yeah, dude, I remember reading that and I was like, I have to remember that one.
Yeah, I was like,
what is that even supposed to mean, clean your clock?
I guess like it's like the face of like a clock, you know? And if you punch him, it cleans it off, I guess, with the swing.
That's a bit of a stretch.
I don't know, or I don't have an explanation, but I knew what he meant.
Yeah, that's true. He's got the white squares on the hands.
Gotta yeah, I noticed that. That's always cool. Like, there's not a ton of white on him.
No.
But they do the hand thing.
They do the hand. It's not even a rectangle. It's like a parallelogram or some shit. Or a trapezoid.
A thing that I love with old comics is, like, they'll show you that he has spider sense. Uh-huh. But then he'll think,
spider sense.
Spider sense.
There was not a whole lot of abstraction, I think, in this.
They didn't let you form any thoughts. They told you what to think the entire
time.
And,
like, he would be thinking, and then also in like caption boxes, he'd also be thinking. So there'd be thought bubbles and then thinking captions at like certain points. So it kind of gets a little bit crazy.
But then there'd also be like yellow caption boxes, which is just normal narration, I guess.
Yeah. So a bit crazy. He takes out the guy that has a child hostage with a white paint bucket. And I just think that this panel is funny out of context. Because it's just a guy laying there, there's a bunch of white paint all over him.
Yeah. Like,
it could be taken out of context.
Some Spidey gadgets I didn't know about. He's got like a little belt camera.
Yeah. Is that like how he takes pictures?
And sometimes? Sometimes.
Because sometimes he has like just a camera webbed somewhere and it just knows when to take pictures.
Yeah. That he's got a sensor on him.
Yeah.
And whenever it goes by, it'll flash or whatever.
That's cool.
Which is.
But I like his utility belt.
Yeah, definitely.
It's neat.
But, you know, I know this is old, but I feel like this isn't
it's not
a tough read.
It's not terrible. It's just a long, for sure.
Long.
Because it covers so many things over like two pages, I feel like.
Yeah, the pages are
and some of them aren't busy. Even like bad ideas necessarily. Or like they're not. I'm saying like the ideas are really interesting sometimes with like the situation that he has to be in, but he just resolves it in like a page or two. And it like is a pretty good display of his character, but you don't really get to, I guess, stew in that too much. You know, like why Peter Parker would make a certain decision to like buy back his microscope rather than, you know, ask it back from a church or something like that.
Very loose reasoning.
Because he stops like this guy and then he'll stop like the guy with the gun in the church and then he stops the guy that has a child hostage and then, you know, all these.
If I were to make like a condensed version, I would just have the last two pages.
Definitely.
You know, and then like, that's the bit of this issue that you need, you know?
Yeah. It's like those people that cut out one piece.
One pace?
One pace, yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's that for Amazing Spider-Man.
Probably not.
You could do it, I think. Like,
that would take so much time.
One piece is like a billion episodes.
1,000
episodes.
And
that's video editing.
Yeah.
This is just like whiting out some fucking panels, you know what I mean?
I've looked into that in like the first like video file of like the first arc. It's like, you know, episode like 1 through 5 or whatever, but then also episode 39 and like 80 something, because I guess that goes with that. So people were like, it's not just putting the close episodes together. Like they're really just
the
pulling some shit. Not well, rearranging the timeline, but I guess that maybe there's flashbacks in older episodes or something.
Oh, I see.
And that so.
Could be interesting.
I watched like a couple of those like.
One Piece?
Just One Piece.
Oh, okay.
And there's some shit I'm like, okay, we get it. Like, you're laughing at him, you know.
I think I've only watched the first couple episodes, so I don't think I got deep enough to be like, this is obviously just filler.
Right. I think, well, not like filler episodes, but there's just like
filler scenes.
Yeah, filler scenes.
Because I've seen like comparisons between One Piece and One Piece, and it's like, yeah, it's probably good that they cut out them walking down a hallway.
I wish that you didn't have to like download like the whole file.
Yeah.
Because like,
but it's just kind of how you got to do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Amazing Spider-Man 291. MJ says no, obviously. And she explains that she has some family stuff that she's got to deal with in Pittsburgh, and she leaves in a taxi. But then there's some evil scientist guy named Alistair Alfonso Smith, who uses his Spider Slayer robot to try to hunt down Spider-Man to avenge the death of his father, but he can't find Spider-Man. He's got these like chemicals on him, I guess, that can track on Spider-Man. But MJ in Pittsburgh visits her sister Gail, who's in jail, and they fight about MJ like abandoning her sister to go to New York or whatever. Spider-Man later fights the Spider Slayer robot and he gets gassed, but he's saved by a construction worker with a bulldozer, which is pretty cool. And then Alistair escapes. And then later on, the Spider Slayer breaks out in the city. But at the same time, Peter just got a call from MJ asking him to come to Pittsburgh. And she's like, I love you. You should come over. And so he ignores the Spider Slayer robot and gets on a plane. And as soon as Alistair realizes that Spider-Man's not going to find him, he also buys a plane to Pittsburgh. Buys a ticket to Pittsburgh. So romantic. A lot going on there. Mm. I never once thought about MJ's family. And maybe that's just like...
Well, I remember like there's some shit about her dad in the movies, but that was about it.
I don't remember that at all.
Like,
I think she's always just been...
He's a shitty dad, and that's about it.
Really?
Yeah, like...
In which movies?
The Toby ones. Like,
really?
Where like she was like in the play or whatever, and she's like, even my dad showed up. He came backstage to borrow cash, but he still like showed up, you know?
Yeah, okay.
So nice. I think about the Spider Slayer dude.
Yeah.
So Spider-Man like crippled this guy.
Yeah.
And so I understand his...
He's a little pissed. His frustration. His dad is dead. I don't know what the history there is.
I guess he killed his dad. He
wants to avenge his father.
Yeah, I guess something happened to where it scrambled his nervous system, crippled him, and prevents him from digesting solid foods, making me the mere shell of a man I am today. So like
he's got some heat.
I'm like, sure. Maybe Spidey deserves this.
Yeah,
is Spider-Man a bad guy?
Yeah, I wonder what possibly could have happened to
this guy is disabled
to make it seem like Spider-Man is still the good guy in that situation.
Yeah,
I like this moment with the construction worker helping Spider-Man though.
That was neat, yeah.
That's cool. I always like when civilians help out, like the heroes, in their time of need. That's good. Do you agree with his decision to like leave New York right when there's a Spider Slayer thing to go to Pittsburgh?
No, because I feel like he could wrap up the Spider Slayer thing in like a couple of minutes and then leave.
That's what I was thinking.
Because like, surely it's not like the next fight is like happening in the next 30 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, it's not like he bought the ticket already and he's like, oh, I don't have any money to like
get
a different plane ticket.
You've like beaten this guy before and he's clearly after you, so if you're nowhere to be found, then
he's just gonna go crazy.
I guess it's not like he's gonna just rampage, which he does, I think, but
he doesn't know that.
Yeah,
there's a couple pages where Peter's in like deep thought and he's walking around his apartment, but he's just kind of like walking on the walls.
Oh yeah, that's fun.
I think that's fun. Or he's like looking at a book on his shelf and he's standing on the ceiling.
Yeah.
I think it's a fun little visual thing. But MJ has a sister named Gail and she's in the slammer. And I'm like, never even thought of her.
She's got like two nephews.
Two nephews, one sister. Parents are divorced.
Mm-hmm,
and I'm like, I never knew these things. But maybe I should use that as an opportunity for self-reflection.
I don't think I ever thought that Peter Parker would be in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You know, for like a reason.
I definitely expect it in this comic.
Yeah.
Where they go to Pittsburgh for some reason. But so next issue, Amazing Spider-Man 292. Peter gets to Pittsburgh and Alistair is like, you know, following on a different flight. But when Peter gets to MJ, she's arguing with her dad about walking out on her mom. And then MJ later tells Peter that her father got into illegally selling manuscripts of famous figures. And her dad got Gail involved and got her arrested for it when Gail was caught. And so MJ's dad is like, if you steal it so that there's no evidence of your sister stealing it, then she'll be released and then I'll just leave. But that's wrong. So she doesn't know she's going to do it. But Peter decides he'll help, but still thinks it's wrong. So while getting the papers, the Spider Slayer robot interrupts, grabs Spider-Man. MJ hits the robot with her car. Spider-Man's able to like stop Alistair. And then MJ returns the manuscript to her dad. But it turns out it was a setup with the cops involved and stuff. And so the dad's arrested, Gail is released. And then later at the airport, MJ accepts the marriage proposal. And they're engaged now. Yay. So all of the like the wedding stuff is just kind of like the last couple pages of every issue, it feels like.
Yeah.
And the rest of it is just like this goofy ass robot, which does look ridiculous, by the way. It's like a Stiltman robot almost.
Yeah. It looks like someone's like first attempt at designing a robot, I guess.
Yeah, it does. At one point, MJ borrows a baseball bat from a kid to just like start hitting the Spider Slayer robot, which I think is kind of sick. Because she hits it with her car and then is like, you know what? I can still help.
Oh, yeah. I'm like just putting herself in harm's way.
Yeah. Thank God that kid was there with a baseball bat.
I don't think I really care about like the logistics of like getting to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You know, like they show
a lot
panels
of
the Spider Slayer dude having his parts of his robot in like a bunch of crates on this plane.
Yeah, getting on
this plane. He's yelling at people unloading it and shit.
He gets it into like some warehouse in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
That he found pretty readily available, I guess. He's like,
expensive to get this on such short notice.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, it would be, obviously, but you don't need to tell me that. Just say he's a supervillain. Like he built this robot.
You say the robot fucking flies, you know? I don't think it's a far flight, you know?
Yeah, like it could have flown there itself.
I never really think about like how Spider-Man gets to places, you know, if it's not New York.
Mm-hmm.
He can't just like web sling to Pittsburgh, you know?
Yeah, he took like a cab, or he tried swinging and he's like, I don't know this place. So he took a cab to MJ and that's like,
yeah,
part of,
like,
that's like part of this issue.
He couldn't just like Google Maps it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, he couldn't. He got a phone book and then found, you know, Gail's name and was like, okay, that's her address.
Which is kind of crazy. I mean,
like, call MJ. She knows you're coming. She can't expect you to just know like where Gail is. With a phone. They have phones, don't they?
But does he have her sister's phone number?
You have to think about these things. I guess, yeah, she would have landlined to Peter's phone in his apartment.
Why would her not boyfriend have her sister's phone number?
Good point. So he has the phone book, but we see all of that. That's my point.
Yeah.
It could have been like, oh, they talked about where she fucking lives before he gets there.
I guess sometimes I can appreciate like some of those details that maybe I would have complained about if they were left out, you know? To be like, how did he find their house?
You know? How did he get their address?
I just forget about the yellow pages.
Yeah. But yeah, it is funny the level of logistics that are in these older comics.
There's a scene where Peter gets to the house with MJ, and MJ is referring to, she's like, Peter, this is Philip. And he's like, Philip, why don't you call me what you called me when you were a little girl? And he's like, Dad, in parentheses. And I would have fucking died if it said Daddy for some reason.
Yeah.
That would have been, like, he's that, your father. It's just like
it would have aged poorly for sure. Why don't you call me? Because
I'm like, oh man, she dates older dudes. It's crazy. Yeah.
There's a outfit that Peter has in this. It's like a turtleneck, but he's also wearing like a suit jacket. I think it goes pretty hard.
Is that a suit jacket?
Or I don't know, like a leather jacket or something.
Yeah.
Like a leather jacket with like a yellow jacket. Turtleneck. And I'm like, that's tough. I like that.
Yeah, bro's got layers. I love like when there's like the light on the black suit, it's just blue, you know?
Yeah.
It just looks really cool.
It does. It does look very good. They were cooking when they did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now we have the wedding issue. The famous Spider-Man annual.
21.
Giant size annual. This is a fun fact, but this is Marvel's first ever variant, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It says on like the bottom of the second one, but it says Marvel's first ever variant was this issue. And one of them's like Peter Parker and MJ getting married. And that's the main one. And then the variant is like Spider-Man and MJ getting married, and there's like heroes and villains in the back.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting. I didn't know that.
They got the brown suit Wolverine.
Yeah, that's nice.
Nice.
They do pick interesting heroes. I guess it's just maybe their popular ones at the time.
Yeah.
Cap, Wolverine, Daredevil, Human Torch. All right. So, wedding issue. It's now days before the wedding. Spider-Man's extra busy, kind of going around the city, trying to like help because he doesn't want to think about it, I guess. And
well, he's trying to like,
he's get, like stressed.
Get extra cash because he's doing extra.
That too, but he's not fighting. Getting paid for well, stopping Electro.
He gets paid for the pictures.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Good point. MJ moves in and they decide that they should probably tell their family about the wedding before they, but before that, they realize they have no space to like live, move in with each other. They didn't think about that, I guess. The Daily Bugle gives Peter a surprise party. Which, now I think about it, is crazy because they knew that Peter was getting married, but Aunt May hasn't at this point.
Yeah.
So that's tough. But Peter starts to question if he's like even ready for marriage, especially when MJ gets like modeling offers in Paris the day of their wedding from a guy named Bruce, but she denies him, obviously. MJ and Peter break the news to Aunt May. She's super excited. Peter the next day asks Flash Thompson to be his best man, and then they throw a bachelor party at a coffee shop. Meanwhile, MJ has a party, like, you know, and goes clubbing and stuff. But from MJ's perspective, she's considering running off to Paris with Bruce to do this like modeling thing. So they're both kind of conflicted days before their wedding, which is great. Peter has a nightmare the night before their wedding. And then the day of the wedding, they both show up like a little bit late, but they make it to the ceremony. MJ surprises Peter with tickets to Paris for a honeymoon, which is from Bruce. That's nice. So they have honeymoon stuff going.
Yeah.
So yeah, like you said, the wedding part is like just a couple pages.
It's all like build up, you know, yeah. Day of.
It's all like, will they, won't they kind of thing. Or is like, are they actually going to do it? But there's like a lot of doubt. And so it just kind of makes her relationship seem super fragile.
Like on both sides, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, I don't know, should I really be doing this? And like some of it's valid because some of it's Peter Parker being like, well, Gwen fucking died because I was Spider-Man. So should I not get married to MJ?
Yeah.
Because I don't want her to die. But then some of it's like Peter being like, oh, she's this crazy like model and our lifestyles are completely different. And that seems like the relationship is a lot more fragile. Which, I mean, it makes sense for the time that it was kind of like that. But to me now, I'm like, do they even... What do they have in common?
He's exciting. She likes that he's exciting.
Mm.
I think that's it.
That's a good foundation.
And their aunts know each other.
Yeah, that's true.
Like they grew up next to each other.
Yeah.
So they just got to know each other their whole lives.
But just, what's funny is just the insanity of how this wedding is organized. And they tell like their closest family members days before. They ask their best man like a day or two before the wedding.
And Flash Thompson's the best man?
Well, I think they're friends at this point.
Probably. Which
is cool. I think after Secret Wars, they're like buds.
Okay.
Or maybe just before they became buds. I can't remember.
They're getting married on a Sunday. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Like, it's fine. But like, if you give like no notice.
Yeah.
What if there's football on?
Yeah. There could have been football on.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, dude, I don't know if I can make it. I got to see what the afternoon games are, you know?
Yeah. This isn't a superhero wedding because Peter Parker has a secret identity, so it makes sense. But I think it'd be fun if they also did like a superhero wedding, like the variant.
Yeah.
And been like, you're invited to this.
Or at least like
the super people there.
Unmasked. Like people who are like in the crowd and even kind of see it.
That's like kind of what I want to see. And I feel like hasn't really been done necessarily. It probably has been in like an X-Men.
Probably.
Or something. Or maybe the Fantastic Four one.
Maybe on one of our like second weddings we can do that.
Yeah, true. But I think that would be an entertaining read. Like I feel like Chip could do that pretty well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like make little jokes and create little dramas that are in there, but there wasn't even like nice moments I feel like in this, cuz it's a pretty big moment for this character.
Yeah.
Like especially like at this time characters getting married that were like previously single. Or whatever, like the love interest part of it sells a lot. And so when they actually like got married, it like kind of fucked up their sales a little bit, apparently.
Oh, really?
That's just what I remember hearing once. But even like in the wedding aspect of it, there wasn't any like Aunt May walking Peter down the aisle with her, or like, or even if he was walking down by himself, like thinking or visualizing like maybe Uncle Ben somewhere would have been a nice emotional beat.
But yeah,
it's just kind of like, all right, we're here. They like exchange some words and then they're married. So not even any dancing.
Why is Electro so jacked? You see that?
Oh shit.
Yeah,
yeah, he is.
I was like, who's that? Is there a new Electro? Like,
he does fucking, yeah.
I think everyone was just jacked at this point.
I think so.
But it was just kind of surprising to see his shirt off. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't know he got it like that. That he just kind of flew around.
Yeah. There's a...
I think this is the first time I've seen Electro dressed like that in a comic that I've read.
Yeah. So
that's fun.
I thought the web looked a little weird in this panel. Like, it's like gray.
Yeah. I thought that was like...
I was like, what's the weapon that firing? I'm like, what's that gun shooting? Yeah. But then you see like the... Whippish.
Yeah.
Thwish. Thwipsh.
I don't think they figured out the thwip yet.
Yeah, not quite. I like this panel with Spidey's ass out. You see that?
Oh my god.
Yeah, he's like,
oh shit, he's really throwing it back.
He's been in all over, dude.
That's good.
Yeah, it's just dumb shit that I've noticed.
There's something that I'm trying to like get a... Oh, okay, never mind. I was looking at her dress, and sometimes they color it weird because she has like these like white sleeves on. But in some panels, it looks like they just forgot about that when they were coloring it. Because like in this panel, it just looks like there's some white on her arms. But
it's like that mesh or something.
No, because in like the actual big splash page, they're like pretty clearly sleeves or like not necessarily mesh.
Yeah, I guess so.
It seems like they weren't very consistent on it, which is weird.
These are normally like recolored, like in like their reprints or whatever.
That's true.
So maybe it was just kind of like a whoopsie.
They get digitally like touched up. But
there's a line that I like where Peter is coming home. Mary Jane's like, "Did you bring the wine?" He's like, "No, but I brought the ice." It is the fucking ring.
That's a good line.
Yeah,
that holds up.
It holds up. I'm like, I should have thought of that.
Yeah, fuck.
And there's even like a part where they're at like a diner and he's like about to tell her that he's going to call off the wedding.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's like that close.
He's like,
until he's like interrupted, you know?
Yeah. MJ's like, let me show you my dress.
He's
like, oh, okay. Yeah. So he was like pretty close to calling it off.
And the most unbelievable thing is that the wedding was sponsored by the Daily Bugle.
Yeah.
I was like, no fucking shot. What do you mean?
That would have been.
And you give him a bonus?
Yeah. Know? Like, JJJ barely wants to pay him for photos, but he'll sponsor a whole wedding, I guess.
Yeah.
That's nice of him, I suppose. But then it's just like a work wedding, and that sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, it's lame.
So let's get into their honeymoon issue.
Hold on, I got other things.
Okay, what else you got?
Okay.
Oh, his hair is better.
Last thing. Yeah, it does improve. So they have tickets to go to Paris.
Uh-huh.
And they have the villa... from an old flame of Mary Jane's.
Yeah.
And the dude Bruce had been like picking her up and like trying to get her to go to Paris and stuff like that.
Yep.
And so at the end, she's like giving it to Peter because say, oh, we have this honeymoon covered. Did she kill that guy?
No, like, I think we see him later.
I don't remember, but like when I saw that, I'm like, Why would she have the tickets?
That would be such a sick twist. Like he was.
She drives up to the wedding in the car.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Bruce is not there.
I didn't see Bruce.
Bruce isn't there.
She has the tickets and has access to his villa that he owns. And
I like this headcanon a lot more.
Yeah, I was like, she killed that guy.
Yeah, I mean, he was coming on too strong. Maybe he was like self defense or whatever. And she's like, well, I got his tickets to Paris now.
Maybe, I don't know. It's really funny though, with me thinking that.
But what is interesting is that this issue ends when they come back from their honeymoon. They're like, wow, that was crazy.
Yeah, then, but like, check out this other thing.
Yeah, if you like, do you want to see their honeymoon? That's the next issue.
I really ran out of steam after this.
Dude, like, me
all right,
too.
We got it. All right.
Yep. Yeah, I was like, we're there. I was interested in what the honeymoon was like. It's not that great of an issue. But basically, there's this guy called the Puma, Thomas Fireheart, who wants to thank Spider-Man for his help during the original Secret Wars.
I think this issue has the best art.
For sure. Who is on this, actually? Alan Cooperberg.
Well, that's layouts. There's finished art by Jim Fern
and
Al Milgram. So
this is the Christopher Priest issue.
Yes.
God, he's been in the game for a while, hasn't he?
Yeah. Long time.
I never think about that.
He's probably like got the most experience out of any like writer that's still working, you know, other than like maybe Mark Waid or something.
Yeah, I was about to say Mark Waid. But yeah.
But I feel like I don't recall Mark Waid stuff like prior to like the 90s.
When was Kingdom Come? Was that 90s?
Probably.
Mm. Yeah.
Anyway.
He's pretty tenured. But anyway, Thomas Fireheart, who's the Puma, wants to, there is being told by his dad, I think, to thank Spider-Man for his help during the original Secret Wars. And he like mentions the Beyonder and stuff. So I'm like, it's weird that this guy was in that, I guess.
Yeah.
I haven't read the original Secret Wars, so I don't know what really goes on. I just have that general idea.
Sure.
But Peter and MJ arrive at their honeymoon cottage in France, thanks to Bruce, who's now dead, I've decided. And Peter thinks he's not good enough because he has like no money compared to Bruce. And later at dinner, MJ is recognized by like a bunch of people there because she's been to France before for modeling. And she's like socializing and Peter feels left out. So he leaves. And then later back at their cottage, the Puma's there to offer Peter and Spider-Man a job for a whopping $80,000 a year. Which is funny to hear now because he's like, oh my God, that's so much money. But then adjusted for inflation, it's like $227,000.
Yeah.
And I'm like, pretty good.
If I got offered $8,000 today, I'd be like, hell yeah, dude.
Get me on there. So it's just funny to be like, I'm going to give you so much money, $80,000. And so Peter accepts the offer and is tasked with like retrieving a stolen artifact. And he like does it, but the whole thing ends up being a setup by the Puma to like monitor Spider-Man to see if he's like actually a good partner or something. And so Peter calls off the whole offer, Puma apologizes, and then they just like go their separate ways. And that's pretty much the whole issue. But what's interesting is that they barely did any honeymoon things on this honeymoon.
Yeah, they just happened to be in like...
They went to dinner, and they went to the beach once, and that was it. That was like the only like things that they did together.
There's like a jump. They get there, and then like it jumps to, oh, I can't believe it's time to almost go home or whatever. Yeah, and then the shit pops up.
But like it would have been kind of fun to see them, I don't know,
Look at this panel. He looks so jacked, and it just looks really cool.
Dude, that's sick, yeah.
I really like the inking on this.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
A lot of stuff. So I guess Puma is the reason, according to that, the next thing, Puma is the reason that Mary Jane knows who Spider-Man is.
Puma?
Yeah.
Really?
Because did you read the next thing, the Marvel Saga thing?
I read the next thing.
Yeah, because like there's a scene where Peter's like pushing MJ out of his apartment because Puma's about to jump in the window.
Yeah.
And then when he jumps in the window, Mary Jane breaks back into the apartment.
Sees
that he's there.
Yeah.
And she kind of always knew, but that just kind of confirmed it.
It confirms it, yeah.
So Puma's important, kind of.
Yeah. I wonder what he's up to now.
So his dad, the Puma's dad, was upset that the Puma didn't defeat the Beyonder by himself.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, the Beyonder's fucking crazy.
He's kind of...
Puma's just the guy who's furry.
Yeah. He like turns to beasts pretty much.
Yeah.
And that's like kind of the extent of what he does.
Nothing else, really.
Yeah.
And anyway. But based off of this and like all the other issues, I guess especially this one, because there's so many like men like throwing themselves at MJ, like she'd be a hard person to marry.
Totally.
You know, just because all the attention she gets.
Yeah,
and then, like, she's like the a life model that she's constantly being thrown this life that she could have.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's interesting because Peter Parker's like, I do not have the funds to support her and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, she's a model, dude. Like, if you love each other, it's fine. But at this time, it definitely would have been like the men are supposed to provide kind of deal.
Right.
And so Peter's like, man, I'm not good enough because I don't make good money.
Right.
But what's cool is that MJ's like, seems like the easiest person to date, because whenever she like can sense that Peter's feeling down on himself, she's like, let's go skinny dipping kind of deal. Yeah. Or like, or
she gets naked.
Like, or yeah, she gets naked, or she's like, you know, fuck those guys kind of deal. Let's go off somewhere else.
Yeah. So,
that is a good thing about MJ in this, is that she's really understanding and has like never judged Peter at all. So that's pretty cool.
I can't believe he's working on their honeymoon.
Yeah, honestly. He accepted a job offer on their honeymoon.
Yeah, I know. So he was trying to get this egg from this
like
church or whatever. Yeah,
it was like an artifact thing.
And there's like a priest there that didn't speak English. And he just like was following him, I guess.
Yeah.
But then the priest double-crossed him.
And he's like, I do speak English, and now I have a gun. And he points it at Spider-Man.
I'm
going
to shoot you. I want that egg.
It is ridiculous.
It is so funny.
And it's like, well, I bet they thought, or I bet Christopher Priest thought that he was cooking. He's yeah. like, what if he does speak English and he tries to shoot him?
Yeah.
It is a funny storyline.
And then the last thing I have on this, I can't find it now, but you can kind of tell that it was like hand lettered, you know, because there was like a panel, there was a bubble I saw where like
it's kind of faded.
Someone had like squeezed the letters together to fit, really? You know, and it was just kind of funny to see. Like you'd read it just fine.
Yeah.
But
that's cool. Well, I think, were they all hand lettered back in the day?
I assume so. Yeah. Because like it's not like they would type it up on Word or whatever.
Yeah. But that would be really hard, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, that was just like the job.
Yeah, it's an impressive job. Especially when there's like, when they're like yelling and there's different text fonts and stuff that they're using. Like, that's all hand lettered.
Yeah, like I think it's this one, whereas like, this is like a real assignment. It was like really small. And yeah. The font even got like smaller, you know? Yeah. And I don't know. I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Because you don't really, I don't know if everything's just typed out nowadays or whatever, but.
It definitely is, I feel like. Unless you're just a Stan Sakai.
Right.
Something I'm just now noticing is that he went crazy with these sunsets.
Oh, yeah.
Look how beautiful that is. And like the way that the clouds are kind of morphed around the sun is crazy.
And we're just reading the words.
And we're
just
reading the words, trying to get through it.
Right.
But anyway, that's pretty much what I would consider this trade.
Yeah.
And then we'll kind of talk about the rest in Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
So they did the Marvel Saga, which 22. Is the official history of the Marvel Universe. So I guess these are just kind of like recap issues.
Yeah.
And they just kind of go throughout the history. So since they were getting married, they were like, oh, let's go through this character's history with MJ. And so they kind of like annotated like their first interactions, some of the bigger things, and you see like older panels and stuff in there.
Some of the other ladies that Peter would date.
Peter's into. You see some Gwen Stacy stuff, and there's one other one, I think, too. But you see kind of like the original, like you hit the jackpot tiger thing.
Look how cool this panel is colored, though.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, with like Mary Jane walking into the night or whatever.
That's cool.
And it's like purple and blue.
I always like seeing old Rhino.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that fucker.
Hell yeah.
He looks like MODOK. Like, what happened
there? His white ass face, yeah.
Yeah. And so I think this is kind of just interesting because I'm a nerd. I don't think anybody else would really care that I know, but.
About Rhino?
No, just like history of like these two characters' interactions.
Yeah, this would have been like kind of boring to like.
Just pick up regularly,
go through,
I guess,
all of it just to try to find out this stuff.
Yeah.
And so it is kind of cool, like even if you don't really know the ins and outs of their relationship, like this kind of catches you up.
Yeah.
You
know? It was Black Cat. He was the was the other person you kind of got in relationships with, and so you see some of that history.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty cool. I like that they did it this way. And then it shows the Puma
thing. They probably cut a lot of this stuff, right? Because like the art changes like a lot.
Yeah, no, it's like it's history. It's like character spanning. So it's like from when he first meets MJ, pretty much all the way up to Secret Wars, and then up to the wedding.
It's not saying that there is new art by some people, but I think a lot of it is like cut.
Yeah, I think so.
There's like editors, graphic designers, and stuff like that. So,
So pretty cool.
Yeah, good stuff.
And then the next one is Not Brand Etch, which is like there's like a seven pager that's kind of like Mad Magazine-esque, so sort of satirical comic stuff, and it's about Peter like saying he's found somebody that he wants to get married to, and he's like kind of crazy about her, but we don't really know who this woman is. Like, it's not confirmed if it's MJ or whatever. And he's telling everybody that he's in love and he's going to get married. Turns out it's like this hero called the Wisp, who's like this small, almost like wasp looking character mixed with like Betty Boop almost. And the joke is like right after he shows Aunt May, who he got married to, she like swats him or swats the Wisp.
Yeah, with like,
she's a, like, oh, got her
with a fly sweater.
Yeah. And then that was like the joke.
Yeah, there's like a bunch of little like gags how like,
yeah,
Aunt May has like heart attacks like every day, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's very serious. And it's got like that kind of cartoony art style.
Yeah.
And,
like Green Goblin looks kind of silly. The lizard looks silly.
Yeah, the lizard looks like a puppet.
I think they call everybody slightly different things. Like he's Spidey Man, not Spider Man.
His name is Peter Pooper.
Peter Pooper. the lizard is the Gizzard. So they just kind of make parodies of these characters.
Yeah, it almost feels like it wouldn't be like officially by Marvel, you know?
Yeah. And then the next two issues I didn't get to because I was like, all right, I'm done with this. But it's their What If issues. And the first one is The Amazing Spider-Man. Or what if The Amazing Spider-Man had not married Mary Jane? And this one looks kind of fire, I'm not going to lie. But I wanted to read some comics for the week, so I skipped
it. Yeah, I read the first one.
What's that one about?
So there's two What If issues, but they're actually part one and part two.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Yeah, so it's just like Peter calls off the wedding, you know, because he can't protect Mary Jane or whatever. And so he rekindles with Black Cat.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's a
cool panel here where Peter has like a nightmare and he wakes up and his like leg is up under the covers, but it just kind of looks like a huge morning wood.
He's like, whoa, oh, it was just a dream.
Yeah, everything's fine.
That's crazy.
And what's kind of cool is like, it kind of shows like how his life would be if like Black Cat was in it, and it goes to like Kraven's last hunt.
Yeah, I saw that.
And before like Kraven gets away after killing him, Black Cat just comes in and saves Peter. So Kraven's last hunt like just doesn't happen.
There's some like sick panels too, like this Black Cat kind of peering over.
Yeah, Kraven there's some good stuff for sure.
Really good artist. I think it was the artist on this. Penciler Jim Valentino.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so he's great in this. Also, this like double page spread of The Watcher.
Yeah, that's
kind of explaining everything up to this point is pretty cool.
I really don't know the history of like the black suit, because I thought like after he gets rid of the black suit, then Venom becomes a thing. But there's a page of him fighting Venom in his black suit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like,
oh, yeah. What is that about?
I don't know.
And I mean, he just liked
Black
the vibes.
Black Cat has like some sort of like sonar gun thing and was able to blast the symbiote off of Eddie Brock. But it didn't seem to do anything for Peters.
There's a Venom in this issue?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know either. But it is a confusing history, I think. But
I'm sure it's like maybe his suit was, I think before it, like, it's not, like, just, like, symbiote on his suit. Like, the suit was from space or whatever.
Right.
So, it's, like, a little different.
Oh, okay.
You know? And I guess someone got a picture of Spider-Man and Black Cat together. So, Mary Jane sees that and calls Peter, but Black Cat picks up the phone. But then Black Cat goes and, like, scares off Mary Jane.
Ooh.
But then a guy overheard them fighting Mary Jane and Black Cat, and so he's like selling the information to some dude, and that's as far as I got.
Nice.
But
some fun pages. But the part two is, I guess, a continuation of this. But it's, what if Spider-Man had married Black Cat instead?
Yeah, they just like gave it the same thing, but it's like continuing like the first part.
Yeah, pretty fun. You know, interesting ideas, I think, are in there. But yeah, that's pretty much it. So
was there actual back matter?
Oh, I didn't even look. Because, yeah, the whole book's like 300 or something pages, so.
There's like...
Yeah, there's like a couple pages of something. What is that?
Is this like a little comic strip or something? There's like the dress design.
Oh, yeah, dress design. That's cool.
Some scripts, some essays.
Yeah, it looks like informational essays. I might have to take a look at that. It looks like some Spider-Man... like actual photos of the Spider-Man wedding. Are people dressing up as Spider-Man for their wedding?
Yeah.
That's fun.
And then Bill Sienkiewicz poster.
What?
Yeah, dude. Maybe you're not there yet, but...
What are these black and white pages?
don't know.
Oh, yeah, Bill Sienkiewicz. So are these like more variants? Oh, that's a promo poster.
They're like pinups and stuff?
Yeah, it looks like it.
But anyway.
Pretty cool. An Eric Larson drawn thing. But yeah. What would you rate this book, Daniel?
So I give it like that extra half piece of cake that you eat at a wedding because your date doesn't finish her piece.
Okay.
You know, you like don't need it, but like you like wedding cake.
Yeah. And it's you should like, eat it because it was probably expensive.
Yeah. Wedding cake is expensive. I love wedding cake.
Me too.
There's something specific about it.
I'm so fucking excited for ours.
Do you tell people what it is?
No. I mean, people haven't really asked, but it's like a churro cake.
Hell yeah, brother.
Which is so good. That's what we're saving.
We had a churro cake at our wedding. Well, yeah. It was like one of the layers. But
yeah, one of the layers is churro cake, and the other one's like a pink champagne cake, which is really good too.
Nah.
I think you'll like it. It's kind of interesting, dude.
I'm sure it's good. Champagne cake is good.
You like eat it, and it feels like it's carbonated. And I don't know how to explain it. It's kind of a crazy experience.
I'm going to drink a cake?
Yeah. I'm going to drink a cake. Exactly.
Okay, for sure.
So I would rate this. Yeah, I think probably just extra wedding cake too, but of the flavor that you didn't prefer, maybe.
Like pink champagne.
No, pink champagne's good. So that's a bad example. But maybe if it was like strawberry or something, be like, oh, okay.
Okay. Let me get that. Dude, I was like blown away by like Roxanne's wedding cake. And I asked her about it. And she's like, yeah, that's just from Costco.
What?
I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
I don't remember what they're.
I'm like, you mean I can have this whenever I want? It was just like, it was just like a white cake. Did you know?
Was it like wedding cake looking? Like, was it three tiered?
They had like a little one that was for show, but like for everybody, there was like sheet cake. And it was just from Costco.
Hell yeah.
And it was badass.
That's awesome.
I was at my table, I'm like, have you had this? And I was just like, damn, I got bland ass taste, I guess.
Yeah, for real. I mean, that's good on them for finding some ways to save money.
What do you think League of Comic Geeks rated this book?
Oh, shit. It's like this album?
This album, yeah.
Probably pretty highly.
It's like history, you know?
It's like, yeah, I think it's like a recognizable issue in Spider-Man's history. You know, they did the weird reboot thing, whatever that was, recently-ish. It's out of 5, right? So I'd probably...
Yeah.
I think they rated this like 4.4.
Nailed it.
Really?
Very positive.
Let's go. Yeah, it's pretty good. I don't think that... It's not the kind of book that you'd recommend to anybody, I don't think. But like, but like, if you're interested in Spider-Man history, this is one of them.
Yeah.
I'd probably... The only like old comic I think I've read that I could be like, this shit's gas, is Kraven's Last Hunt.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I think that book's really good and definitely holds up.
I like Swamp Thing a lot.
I haven't read that. That's probably one, two.
Yeah, so should we get in the poll list?
Yep.
Colin?
Shove it in your box.
The poll list. What did you shove in your box?
So we got the Marvel DC crossover, number one.
Pretty exciting. You should grab me one of them.
All right. Yeah, they had like hella variants.
Yeah.
Batman and Robin, year one, number 11. Oof. Almost done. Battle Beast, number 5.
Cool.
New Gods, number 10.
Yes.
You remember that prestige book called The Bat-Man, called First Night or whatever? And it was that like...
Who's it by?
Dan Jurgens.
Oh, yeah.
It was about you know, the first iteration of Batman or whatever, like whatever's going to go into public domain, probably.
Yeah.
There's a new one. It's called The Bat-Man: Second Night.
Oh.
So I guess they're continuing that.
Okay. Is it still Dan?
I think so. I didn't really look into it, but I just saw that and I assume so.
I wonder how that is.
And then Marvel Zombies Red Band, number 1.
Cool.
If you're interested in that.
I'll read your issue.
I might like flip through it. I probably won't buy it.
Okay, if you don't buy it, then whatever.
Yeah, Dan Jurgens, Mike Perkins.
Cool.
Mike Spicer.
Cool. What'd you read this week?
You know, I like considered like the Marvel Saga and like not
bring back. I think it's valid.
Because that's like,
it was extra work for sure. Yeah,
I like wanted, because I like paid for the thing and I'm like, there's a lot in here that I didn't read, you know, so I just like kind of wanted to get to it.
Yeah.
So I read those, and then I read The Boys, Dear Becky, number 2 and 3.
Nice.
That's pretty fun, because like, there's like flashbacks to when, to like The Boys, but before Huey getting there.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, and that old dude is on the team, and they're just kind of navigating how they're going to like kind of be the boys and stuff. Mm,
The Boys Year One.
Yeah, it's like the Year Boys Year One. Yeah, it's kind of cool.
That is
Mallory.
Sweet.
Mallory's like the old dude. And so it's not just like, because I was afraid there wouldn't be like any Supes in it, you know?
Yeah.
And Soup stuff, but there is like plenty of that.
That's cool.
And that's it. So what'd you read?
I read Predator versus Spider-Man number 4.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I would say. I didn't realize that was going to lead into Predator Kills the Marvel Universe number 1.
Did you read the Marvel
Universe? I read it in the right order, which is good.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess spoilers, but they get the serial killer Predator that like doesn't follow the code or whatever. Skinner. And then they mark Kraven because he was able to kill one of the Predators, and they're like, this guy's kind of tight. And so they like mark his forehead, and then he joins the Predators, and he's helping them hunt down the Marvel Universe or the heroes. And I think that Predator Kills the Marvel Universe one is a good start.
Yeah.
Because I like that they only focus on like a couple kills in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like kind of more impactful. So they take out like the Fantastic Four in there, which is fun. So yeah, I'm excited to see where that goes. I mean, it's just like a crazy crossover. So
yeah,
it's a fun time. I also read Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees, Rite of Spring.
Mm-hmm.
Rolls Right Off the Tongue.
Yeah.
Great first issue.
Banger.
I'm like, oh God, I'm so glad this book is back.
I'm like, how does he do it?
dude, he's so, and it's like somebody, oh my God, it's the fucking duck that they cut up. It's like the brother or the sister of that hunting down the duck after he disappears. And so she's just kind of like
using Reddit.
Yeah. You read it. Yeah. He's using Reddit, trying to find it. She's going to like every police precinct in the area and being like, found anything yet? And they're like, still no. You've been doing this for 8 years, you know? And so she's got like a vendetta. But then like the twist at the end, I wasn't expecting, because it was actually Sam who like messaged her that like, oh, you should check out the city that I'm in. And so I'm like, what's your fucking game here?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
How does this work out for you?
It's awesome.
Yeah, no, super good.
So I'm definitely interested where that goes. So I'm excited to read issue 2.
Yeah.
I read that Captain America issue 2. They let me borrow. I think it's good, man.
Yeah.
I don't want to continue it, but I think I like what he's going for, I think.
Yeah.
Because there's some Doctor Doom stuff in there, and it's like Captain America being like, oh, America's like this big superpower now, and did I contribute to that? And like, was that the wrong thing to do necessarily? And so he's kind of like questioning his allegiance kind of deal, but in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And there's parts in there where I'm like, hell yeah, because he's like, when I got into the ice and when I got out, I'm still, it's good to know that my values still hold true, which is just fighting fascists. And mm-hmm. I'm like, hell yeah. But I think he'll find out that Dr. Doom is kind of aligning with his interests, but Doom's just doing it in a bad way. And so I think what he's leading into is kind of a smart and interesting dilemma. But yeah, I think it's just, I'm not interested to read it anymore, I don't think. But I imagine if, as it goes on, people will think that this is like a really good Captain America run.
Yeah, like it's cool, like,
because it's a Canadian.
It's like written well, but there's not, I think my dumb brain is like, there's not any fights in here, you know?
Yeah, it's more like,
like I need kind of like little action breaks here and there.
That's what they don't have. It feels like a,
it probably feels, is a kick-ass trade, you know?
It'll be probably a great trade, just great overall arc, but it feels kind of like a Sheriff of Baghdad, or Babylon, Sheriff of Babylon type thing, where it's like not necessarily huge action war book, but it's like ethics stuff,
right?
So I like that approach, but whatever. And then I read a Daredevil, A Cold Day in Hell, number 3, to end that out. That book rules.
Hell yeah, dude.
It's just so good. I don't understand why Bullseye let the Punisher free.
And
he like shows him like, oh, look at this nice suit of armor that you could use, Frank. Let me let you out and then leave. you know,
because he couldn't possibly make it over there because he's got no arms.
It was just weird. They were gonna kill him, and they're like, "Well, let me let you out, and then show you this Iron Man suit, and then leave the room." And then he just like manages to walk over. I don't know. That was just like a weird thing.
It's pretty cool though.
It was pretty cool that it happened, but it was just strange. I like that he's like losing his powers at the end fight with Bullseye. There's a part where Bullseye like has this detonator thing that he wants to activate. And he's just right after a fight with Daredevil. And so he uses his tooth to like bank it off of a couple like walls and stuff to hit the trigger of the detonation device. And I was like, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then Absolute Wonder Woman 11, which is just great. That book's awesome.
Nice. You're like all...
I'm caught up on that, yeah.
Yeah, that's the most
recent. So that's like part 4 of 5 of this trade. I don't really know where she's going with it because she's been in like this maze this whole time.
Mm.
And she like found another Amazonian for like the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And the Amazon is like, holy shit, you're the daughter of Hippolyta? I don't even know it was like a thing kind of deal. So some interesting lore, I guess. I think this arc is the weakest so far, but there's some cool development in there. I still like it a lot though.
For sure.
But that's everything I read.
Nice, nice, nice.
So kind of all over the place. And then Daniel, I played Skate.
Yes, sir.
There was a game Skate. It's out, but on early release. I don't really know what their plan is.
It's not like there's, I don't think there's gonna be like a full release necessarily. Yeah. It's just like, this is what they got so far.
Yeah.
And then they're just gonna build on that.
Yeah. So Skate 4, we were obviously big fans of Skate 1, 2, and 3, and then some of the Tony Hawk games before this. So this has been a, like, probably your most anticipated thing since one of the Star Wars games.
Never thought I'd see the day.
Yeah, because they announced it so long ago. Like, October of, like, 23, I feel like, was what it was.
The trailer came out last October, and they said it was coming this summer, and I, like, shit a brick.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's here now.
It's cool. I didn't get
the chance to play it too much. It was kind of some bullshit, because they, released it at, like, 1 p.m., like, local time.
Oh, really?
And I was like, I almost took the day off. And I just had to wait until like after lunch, you know, to start playing it.
Yeah.
Just to get kicked off the server like 20 times.
Yeah. It was, I think EA made like a statement, like, no matter how many people are gone, there's not going to be server problems. That was like a thing that they tried to make clear, I think. But then there was just server problems because the game's free and it's a popular, I don't know, IP. So I don't know how they would have
accounted for it. Like asked me to log on. And then it was like, or like before I was logging on, it's like, there's 12,000 people ahead of you. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Some people were in like the 900,000s I saw on Reddit.
Oh, shit.
I didn't know if it was just me getting kicked off later in the day. But when I first logged on to it, I think it was during my lunch, but I took a late lunch. So it must have been like right when it was released.
Yeah.
So I was able to go through the tutorial and stuff just to make sure I remembered how to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels good, I think.
Yeah,
it definitely feels vibes wise a little bit different from Skate 2 and 3, but it still fun because I think they're leaning into what became popular with Skate 3, which is just kind of like ridiculous glitches and stuff where people would like gain a bunch of momentum and hit big air. I think they wanted to
just have that
still be a part of the game, but just kind of built in. And so in that sense, it feels a bit more arcade like.
Sure.
But you could still have the Skate feel.
Yeah, you could totally just do like...
You could just do a kickflip onto a 50-50 like
flatland
and fall off.
Shit.
Yeah. And like, it could still feel like that realistic kind of clunkiness. But if you want to jump off a building and fly in the air and then do a roll or whatever.
I do not know how people do that shit. I like tried like a few of it and literally just like if you like hit something too hard, you will bail, you know? And so it's like, you have to be very precise about it.
Yeah.
And I do not care for that.
There's kind of like... you know, I don't know, crazy mechanics, and then there's the regular mechanics. And what I like about it is that you can see what your stick is doing on, like, the trick thing.
Yeah, that's neat.
I was like, I never could really tell what
it was. I didn't notice that until, like, today, really. I was like, oh, I guess that is the thing.
But I like the design of the map. I didn't get to play it, like, too much. I just got through the tutorial and then skated around for a little bit just because I was like, fuck yeah, this is back.
But I don't love that you have to, like, climb to get to certain areas.
So I saw that you can, there's a guy named Ollie.
Okay.
He's like a NPC, like companion dude, and you can tell him to go climb things for you.
Oh.
And then just go up there. So if you want to go to like the top of a building, because there are like weird Assassin's Creed mechanics where you like climb buildings and ledges and stuff.
Yeah.
Which if you like that, then cool. But I think there's a way that you can have your companion climb something and you could just skate around while he does it for you.
Okay, I'll need to look into that.
Yeah.
So there are some fast passes or whatever if you want to get to different parks and whatnot.
Yeah.
But nothing's really that far away.
No.
At this point, but I know it's fun. I really like the bearing collecting, like, little...
Oh, yeah.
Challenges. Nothing. None of the challenges are, like, very hard, but...
But they show you the potential of kind of what's around you.
Yeah, yeah. I never really, like, thought that the Skate 3 challenges are really hard until, like, the, you know, the last competition.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, it's cool. I'm not sure how it's gonna, like, work, because it's not like you could do, like, a local co-op thing where you, like, play skate against
somebody. I wonder if that's coming later.
Maybe.
But you could still get into a party with people and kind of do it your own way.
Yeah, it's basically just you set the marker and stuff.
Yeah, you set the marker and you'd be like, I'm going to do a flip onto this.
Dude, I tried doing like the marker thing like from like muscle memory, and it's just a different...
It's a different key button now?
Yeah.
I didn't have any muscle memory whatsoever. I knew how to like do a kickflip and a laser flip.
I was
and
still
stuff.
Playing Skate 3 until this came out.
Oh, really?
The gravity is definitely different.
Oh, yeah.
And so you're like heavier in this one, it feels like.
Oh, really?
With the flatland stuff. Yeah.
Mm,
or maybe it's just the angle that I need to change. Some people like adjust things to make it like more like the other game, but I kind of just leave it.
Yeah. You know? I think I changed the field of view a little bit so that I could see more of my character like outwards.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny that you can roll. Have you seen the rolling thing where you can get off your board and you just like somersault?
I think you've always been able to do that, but they definitely have added more to the falling aspect of it.
Yeah. And I like a lot of the cosmetic stuff that you can do.
Yeah, that's been pretty sick.
You can change your socks.
You can get a lot of shit pretty quickly, it seems like. You just do a couple challenges, then you get shit.
Mm-hmm. And they have like cool like Grim Reaper outfits and stuff that you can pay for if you want, and I think that's a good approach.
I hope. Yeah, because there's like a currency you can get pretty quickly for these mystery box things. Mm-hmm. And I think you can get the other currency to just buy things outright.
Yeah.
But like, it seems like it's taking a minute. Because there's like this Vans pack I want to get. But like, you need like 1600 of these purple dollar things.
Yeah.
You know?
So you could buy those directly if you want.
Right. But I'd like to earn it possibly, you know?
Yeah, it'll just be more of a grind for sure.
Yeah. So this is kind of navigating that, I guess.
Mm-hmm. But it's cool. I like that you can set up your own ramps and stuff just kind of around the map so that it can help you create a line.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
I never really did that before, but some of the areas are kind of like boring that you can use like some of this shit, you know? So we'll probably get more into that.
Yeah. So hopefully they fix server stuff and I can mess around with it more.
It wasn't a problem today. Like login, it got in. I think it was just
first day one
excitement.
Totally. And if you're a hater on that game, I see a lot of hate on it. It's not bad. It's very exciting.
It's been 15 years.
Yeah. I think people just expect Skate 4, but like just the same game as Skate 3, just more.
I don't know what you'd expect necessarily.
Yeah. But that, I think their approach is great.
Like, there's no way they could have made a game that everyone would have loved.
Totally.
You know? Yeah. Did you watch anything?
No, but I played Borderlands 4.
Oh, really?
That was also a release that happened.
Do you play those?
Yeah, Borderlands is great, except for the third one.
In the movie.
Have you seen the movie?
No, have you?
I watched the first 20 minutes of it.
Mm.
Insufferable. I was even trying to watch it ironically, and I'm like, this is just whatever.
Wow.
Borderlands 4 is awesome. Borderlands 2 is like one of the best games ever made, I think.
Wow.
Just as far as like... cooperative story games, vibes. It looks kind of like Inktone, comic booky kind of deal. There's a lot of really good comedy, a lot of colorful characters and personalities. And so I really enjoy that game. I think it's great. And then Borderlands 3 came out and I played it and it's pretty forgettable. I don't even remember who the like main villain was. And then this game came out and it's been looking great. And so I'm like, I hope it's good. And I've played like the first maybe like 2 hours or so. And it is pretty fucking awesome.
I almost accidentally bought it because, like,
damn,
there was like a pop-up thing on my Xbox, and it's like, oh, it's out.
Yeah,
buy it now.
Go get it.
And then I was like, fucking no. And like, it was like the whole screen. And I had to like find the right button to get out of the ad or whatever. It's kind of annoying.
Yeah, I think it feels if you were, because I guess there's been some like spin-off games too. Like I never played Tiny Tina's Adventureland or whatever it was called, which is kind of a spin-off game. I heard it was good. But this one feels like Borderlands 2 to me, which is important. I like the skills that you can have for the different vault hunters and stuff. And the comedy, I think, is good, which is important because there's like a claptrap robot dude that runs around. He was Jack Black in the movie.
Yeah.
He was pretty funny in the second one. And I was like, some of the characters I think in the beginning of Borderlands 4 were like kind of Marvel coded, where it's like, oh, he's right behind me, isn't he, kind of thing.
Are you the guy with the mask that's on the cover?
No. Those are the bad guys. Those are psychos. It's kind of like a post-apocalyptic feel, but you're on a different planet.
What is the... I really don't know anything about the game. Do you get stuff?
Borderlands, you get stuff.
And you get bigger weapons or whatever?
I'm not that keen on the story either. Like, I would like... They give you a big intro cinematic that explains what's been going on.
Yeah.
But you're on a different planet. There's these things called vaults, and inside the vaults are like the most valuable thing ever, essentially.
Normal vaults, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. And
these things called vaults.
I don't know. There's aliens and like robots and stuff. And basically the concept of the game is that you have a story to follow, but you can have side missions and stuff. But you are on one planet. This one is Kairos. And you're a team of vault hunters that each have different abilities and perform specific duties. But any area that you go into is either held by like robots or aliens or psychos, who are the guys with the masks, and so you got to fight them. And it's basically a looter shooter, but I think the best way,
okay,
it's the best version of that, where if you kill somebody, they'll drop a gun or something, and there's like millions of combinations of guns because they're like kind of randomly generated almost.
And there's like a main villain in each one.
There's a main villain essentially, yeah. In Borderlands 2 is this guy named Handsome Jack. In this one, I forget his name, because we haven't seen him that much.
Okay.
So we're just getting his little goons before we can get to Top Dog.
You get his gooners?
Getting his gooners, mm-hmm. Yeah. But the weapons are good. It was a little bit janky because I was playing on the PC and my friends were playing on the Xbox. And my character would lock. So I would be shooting and then I couldn't control where he was looking at all. I could only like shoot and aim down sight, but I couldn't like move at all. And so I kept having like fuck with that a little bit. So on launch is a little bit janky. But.
So when you do like the cross-platform stuff, does that normally like work pretty fine?
Yeah, no. I would say so. Because you're all connecting to a server anyway when you're playing online. It's just like having the compatibility, I guess, server that can take the communication from a PC and from a console. Like it's not a crazy idea necessarily.
Yeah.
Because you're all connecting to a server anyway. So it just depends on how the game is built.
Never really like done it, so I never knew.
We can do it on Skate because you're cross-platform anyway, because you're just kind of on open servers,
right?
So, but yeah, I think Borderlands is super fun, so I'm happy with it, which is good because it was like $70. So,
yeah. So you join like a party on a cross-platform, or you just do a Discord thing?
A party. So, well, you go into the same lobby, I think. You can go into an Xbox chat on PC, so that's what I've been doing.
Oh, okay.
So they just start an Xbox chat normally, and they see that I'm online just on my PC.
Yeah.
And so that's how I communicate with them. I just join their Xbox party.
Okay, yeah. I've seen you, like, on live, and I never really thought about it.
Yeah. Most of the time, I'm on PC because I don't have a new-gen Xbox.
Right.
So.
Cool.
But yeah, pretty cool. I'm excited with it. Did you watch anything?
No, just football and... The Housewives of Salt Lake City, you know, normal stuff.
Nice. I don't think I've really watched anything either this week. Been busy.
Yeah, I was bummed. I tried to watch stuff because, like, Weapons is, like, available to rent now.
Oh, it is?
Yeah,
oh,
for, like, $20 or whatever.
I want to check that out.
But I'm like, Sarah, you want to watch a scary movie? She's like, I want to watch Housewives. I'm like, why?
Oh, great.
Yeah, great idea. But anyway, what are you going to read next week, Nathan?
What are we gonna read next week?
I don't know. I'm a married man next week. Maybe I'll be different. Maybe I'll have different tastes.
Well, you'll always have a taste for spooky season, Nathan.
Oh, dude, it is spooky season.
Yes, sir.
Oh, shit. Where we start, so that's our horror month. We read four different scary comics.
Horror comics. Yeah. Comics aren't really scary.
I mean, we did like Kiss versus Zombies or whatever one year.
That was terrifying.
So horror themed books.
Yeah.
Because horror comics are awesome. What are we starting with next month?
30 Days of Night.
That sounds cool.
Alrighty. Sounds good. It's on Comixology. There's also a movie. I'd like you to watch that.
Is that shit a movie?
Yeah, you should read it and then watch the movie.
Okay.
I think that would be good. It's a good movie.
Cool. Yeah, never seen it.
Yep. So thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. We got a link tree in the bio. You can like, comment, subscribe. Send us an email. Sal Nathan, congratulations on being hitched.
Yep.
At TreeWearsPod@gmail.com.
I got the old ball and chain now.
Either. And goodbye.
Bye.